with Jim and Nissen, Thursday the 5th of April, Rabbi Eli Rowe, The Taste of Freedom.
I'd like to say thank you very much that I have the opportunity to speak here. And as much thank you to all the organizers who make this are they the Torah way. You know, we're sadly now 48 hours before Pesach, and I'm sure we're all almost finished our Pesach preparations. The houses are all calm. And of course, all we have is a few minutes to sit down and enjoy the day. Shows us how it represents our gaiva, pride based on empty pride, and all the additives put together, which make it more delicious, which entice us to join us with the pursuit of taiva. And when we follow kina and taiva together, that leads us on to kina, jealousy, dissatisfaction that we have, more mental, more like that, through the first time. That's on the other hand. Is the pure community. It's the modesty, it doesn't do it so far, it doesn't drag you after it, it's just really just a staple, just flour and water, it's just what we need to survive, and we can dedicate the rest of our energy to serving each other. Just by the way, how come we have to pay more for one box of nuts than we pay for one plate of cake? It's something to think about. That nuts ideally should just be the simple lifestyle, that's what we have to do. The simpleness of matzah reminds us of the pasuk in Kehelet, "Elokim asa es ha'adam yosha v'heimo bikshu chesbon yishaveh." Hashem made man straight, just what he needs to be, and we searched out for ourselves chesbon yishaveh in ways of twistedness, which took us away from it. But the matzah reminds us how straight and narrow is it. These verses we find in a lot of places, but perhaps the clearest is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, which says there that one of the Amiral used to daven after Shemin Ezra, he would add on, "Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know that Ritzoneinu Lasot Ritzonecha, Umi Ma'aki Soy Shev Yisa." You know, Hashem, that we really wish to serve you, and there's only one thing that holds us back, the two things, Soy Shev Yisa and Shibbet Malchus. And Hashem says this Soy Shev Yisa refers to the Yitzhar himself. So he's called the Soy Shev Yisa, the yeast in the dough, and indeed, because of that Yitzhar, that's what we have, that restrains us and holds us back from serving Hashem the way we should. And therefore our mitzvah is on Pesach to get rid of all the chametz, and at the same time as we get rid of the chametz, we also think, try and remove from ourselves any connection to the Yetzer Hara. And indeed, Radvaz writes that because of that we're so makbid on chametz, even with mashul, and we try and have our whole house clean from it, and we're so machmir, and this all becomes because of that connection to the Yetzer Hara that lies hiding within the chametz. And the other parallel Gemara, which also brings out this point, is the Gemara Pesachim, that Zayin base, which is finding a source that we do these comments so tonight with a candle. And the reason why we use a candle is we learn that from Pesach, because we finish other, and we finish the Pesach, and we finish my other places for Pesach. 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 And we finish my other places for the house, and the house,
causes you to look at it from a slightly different angle. We know the personality of a person, we have to identify our body, and then we have the organs within us that control our body. And because we look at the maya, we that indeed when the seichel and lev work in tandem, then we have a real human being. It's interesting, you know, they put a lot of effort into advertising nowadays. They spend hours and a fortune on working out the right slogans and catchwords. So in Israel, where I noticed on the car number plates, here we don't have on the car number plates in Israel, so they have a lot of slogans. Each different model and make of the car has its own slogan. If we just study for a second, we could learn something. The Honda has on its slogan, Honda Matsita et Dimayon. Honda in some fashion. Subaru, you don't see so much of that here. The Subaru has a different slogan. I think that's really the one to talk about. And that slogan is not an asset in itself, but it's not a fair mind. And it is think, ride, feel. Wrong. Think, feel, 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 wrong. That is really what we have to do. We have to think, we have to imagine our head, and we have to find our own way. The thoughts that we realize the true truth and the best position. Then, we learn the difference in learning the robot. We need to feel it. We have to internalize, we have to make a part of the person we want. But we feel it, we have the thoughts and feelings right together, and then we can drive, and then we can tell them probably what to do and move forward. The Arab approach is to regard that this harmony between the thought and the feeling, and then the body is my actually body, and then the thought, my actually body, which is all this measure. The other person is feeling the feeling for themselves and the soul, and then working all together, and he has my actually body, and even that. Now, I heard in the shiur from Mr. Rabbi Yitzchak, and he quoted something I haven't studied, a And that is the right of the sport. And they left it all dark with the stone there, and they didn't even put in a light bulb, and people threw down there the rubbish of the years and the broken chairs and things. Some dude go in there, he can't move, it feels dirty, it feels dark and uncomfortable. Is that house a beautiful house or not a beautiful house? Well, it depends where you are. If you want to be in the basement, it's horrible, it's awful. If you want to be in the upper floors, it's beautiful and all controlled. Man, if you want to live in the basement, then you will find it's actually based in evil. There was one aspect of man which Freud and his friends liked to live in. So they found themselves being in an evil place. But they lived in the basement. The truth is, there's more to man than the imagination. There's more to man than the lab, and more than the covet. There is what the seichel wants. And what the seichel wants can be good and upright and wonderful, if you allow yourself to listen to what the seichel is saying. There was a professor of psychology, I forget his name, but he was... Before the Second World War, he used to teach that there's no such thing as free will. And he used to say, how come that we present ourselves with choices and we decide what we want to do? It's all just a toss-up of what is the most convenient thing for the body to achieve today. Or according to the circumstances we're in, and according to the feelings we have at the moment, and according to the opportunities that are in front of us. So with that, we weigh it all up and we come to the best decision. But there isn't any free will. And anybody else in the same stage, in the same brain, not the same brain, same situation as us, with the same thought process, will come to the same thing. Until he ended up, along with many others, in the concentration camps. And like all everybody else, he was suffering immensely. And he was tortured and beaten and hungry and cold. And of course, at the beginning, he was very upset. And then after a bit, he started to think to himself. And he thought, why should I be sad just because I'm in a concentration camp? And he said, I'm going to try and feel happy. Despite all the suffering that's going on, despite all the difficulties in my life, I'm going to try and find happiness. And he put in his head happy thoughts. And he began to think that he didn't mind. And no matter how difficult the life was, and it was uncomfortable and painful, for sure, physically painful, but the thoughts he thought in his head were unconnected to what he was experiencing. And he managed to find in himself an inner freedom, a freedom to feel whatever he wants in whatever situation he might be. And in that freedom, he discovered, and from then on he taught, this was the professor, I'm not telling you why I thought, from then on he taught that there's such a thing as free will. And that freedom that he discovered, was he discovered Bechira, what we know as free will that we believe in, and that was really the ability to rise above what the lame and the covet is feeling, what the goof is feeling at the time, and to allow the moyach to be free, to be pure by itself, and to think independently whatever it wants to think. And that freedom was a true freedom. In the end, he became more free, so to speak, than the guards who were holding him, who were, like most people, subservient to their circumstances and what was pulling at them at the time. There's a beautiful remez in the Pasuk, Shmois, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. But Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paroi, Kovid leiv Paroi. His heart is heavy. His heart is hard, and he's not listening to me. I've been telling him to let them go, and he's not listening. Kovid leiv Paroi. So I once heard that Paroi is the word for king in Egypt. It's called Paroi.
Kovid is remnants of the Kovid. Lev is the Lev. And Pari is the Melech. Is represents what we should have. The Seichel, the Moyach. Pari is the wrong way around. Kovid, Lev, Pari. First we have the Kovid, then the Lev, and then Pari. It should be Pari, Lev, Kovid. We should have the Seichel leading and telling the feelings what to feel, and then together directing the Kovid and the Guf. But Pari is the other way around. He's Kovid, Lev, Pari. What's happening to Pari? Pari is, perhaps like Freud or perhaps like others, not responding. He's letting it, allowing his brain to respond to the circumstances he's in. He decides, he feels that he wants particular things. He wants to be running the world. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be wicked. And then he just uses his seichel to be able to achieve that. And he uses his skills to be able to maintain his power. But he's never using his seichel to stand up for what's really good and what's really right, which doesn't initially present itself to him because he finds himself in the basement and he lives in the basement and he allows his whole body to follow after that. So instead of Melech, Moyach Lev Kovid, we have Kovid Lev Para. Which reminds me of the farmer who I read about recently. It's not a true story. Who was walking down the road and he was coming to sell his wares from the village. He was on the way to the town. As he was walking along, it was a hot day. He was wearing his farmer Borsellino, nice and shady. And he was carrying his wares on his back. He was trundling along, heavy, his heavy load. And he starts thinking to himself, he thinks, Baruch Hashem, I have feet. With my feet, I could walk from the village to the town. I could come to sell my wares. Baruch Hashem, I have hands. My hands, I can plant my produce, I can pick my produce, I can put it in the bundles, and I can carry it. Baruch Hashem, for sure, from my back and my shoulders, I can carry the weight as I go. But why do I need a head? And then he says, I know I need a head. I need a head to hold my sun hat in order to keep me shady so I can walk without getting too hot. The farmer is somebody who's the wrong way around. His seichel is there just to hold up his hat to protect his body. Somebody like that, he's a Kovid Lev Paro. He's a waste of a seichel. The seichel has to be free and in charge. To explore the same concept from a different direction, we'll come back to this at the Chabad soon. We have heard a very beautiful thing from Ramosh Shapiro in Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says, the beginning of the Tzius Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. This month is the first month, this is the Rosh Chodesh. With this they were given the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of counting the months of the year, and the fact that Nisan is the beginning. And it all seems very tangential to the real concept of the real mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't seem to have any connection. There's a mitzvah of Beis Din and Rosh Chodesh. What's it referring to? So he said that really what was happening here is Hashem was addressing the worst kfirah that there is. So bad that even nowadays scientists don't say it anymore. And that is that there is no God, and there was no God, and there never was a God. So how did the world come into existence? So they say, it just always was. No, not the Big Bang. It just always was. It just always was. It never came into existence. It always was. And what always happened was, we always had a summer, and then a spring, and then it rained. And then, we have summer, autumn, and then winter, and then spring again. And it just goes round and round and round, and then we have a day and a night. And it just goes, the same concepts just keep going round and round and round. They never began, nobody started them, because they didn't have a beginning. Came along Hashem, and he said, I would like to introduce you. The Sephardim thought like that, the Greeks thought like that. And Hashem says, no, I have to introduce you, that I made this world. And indeed the first word of the Torah is, Bereishis. In the beginning, there was a beginning. This world didn't just go round and round and round and just continue forever and start forever. No, this world had a beginning. And as soon as you realize it had a beginning, then we know that it has an end, it has a tachlis, it's going somewhere. And that's what we have in the same word, Bereishis. We know, as Chazal tell us, all kinds of drushes, Bereishis, Bishvil Reishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil Torah, Bishvil Mitzvahs, Bishvil Eretz Yisrael, Bishvil all the beautiful things, because once Hashem made it, he started it off. So why did he create it? Obviously he created it to get somewhere. As opposed to the other philosophies which were saying, no, this world just goes round and round and round and round, and nothing ever happens and nothing ever goes anywhere. So which is connected to the fact that the Jewish people count by the moon and the non-Jews count by the sun, because the sun, as we know, just goes, you never have a time without sun every day. The sun is there for at least half the day, whereas the moon has a period when at the end of each month it just disappears and has to be reborn. What we call a moilad has to start again. And as we say in Kiddush Levana, that when we say Kiddush Levana, we are meeting Hashem. We are recognizing the Shechina. Where is Hashem? Where is the Shechina in the moon? The answer is because the moon reminds us that the moon disappeared and started again. The stopping and starting again reminds us how, for those who already know, I wouldn't use that as scientific proof, but it's a reminder that Hashem put in nature, that we should feel. Now every time the moon disappears and then starts again, we know that this world had a beginning, and we're reminded of this chadshus, and we're reminded that there's a plan and a destination. And this is Bereishis, this is Achodesh Zalachem. This is Hashem is telling him, now I'm taking you as a Jewish nation, I'm taking you now for tachlis, I'm taking you now for direction, I'm taking you to get somewhere. Meaning that I made the world with a purpose and with a function and with a direction. That's Bereishis, and it's going somewhere, it started off. And I want you to continue on that way, and that's why he gave us the mitzvah of Achidush Zalachem, that we should know Reish Chodashim. Now this month is a Reish, and this one is going to be a beginning. We're going to be going somewhere, and in particular we're going to be counting with the moon, because that's what shows us how we have a beginning, and therefore we have a destination. So this is, that was the beginning. But then he said, listen to this Mishnah Pekahavos, which is so incredible. The Mishnah Pekahavos, Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin says, Hillel saw is Gulgoyles, a skull, skull floating along the water, and he said, because you drowned, you have been drowned, and eventually those who drowned you will be drowned too. So what was Hillel saying? He says, if you listen closely to the words, we have two words we have for head. We have a roish and a gulgoyles. Roish means a head, and Gogeles refers more to a skull. Roish denotes a head which is leading. Roish is a leader. Rishon is the beginning, a start, a controller, a ruler, a roish, a leader, a master. Gogeles is clearly from the word galgal, something that goes round. The Gogeles goes round and round and round. It doesn't get anywhere, it's just a circle rolling around. A roish is a leader. The same head could be a roish, it could be a Gogeles. And look at this Gulgoyles, what was it doing? It was Tzofa up in our mind, it was just floating along the water. It was being taken along by the water to somewhere where it didn't want to go. In fact, it was heading towards its own watery grave. This was a Gulgoyles which was rolling. And he said to it, Hillel said to it, do you know how this came about? Because you were a Gulgoyles and not a Rosh. Instead of taking charge of your life, instead of living your life for a purpose and for a destination, you lived as a rolling ball, you lived wherever things took you. You lived just as this world just rolled along, and whatever occurred to you, you did. And you never sat there to be a controlling force in your own life. You never were a Rosh. And therefore, you rolled along. So guess what you did when times were rolling well for you? So you destroyed others. You were cruel and heartless. You didn't use your seichel to think what was good. And eventually what happens is, this cycle goes round again. Like summer follows winter, and winter follows summer. There's a time when you're up, and there's a time when the next people are up. And if the next people are also part of the same system as you, then I'm afraid they might drown you. And then, as the winter rolls around again, the next people will be out and they'll drown the next one. And so on, ad infinitum. Doesn't get anywhere. However, you could be a Rosh. And if you'd be a Rosh, and you would lead, and you would control, and you would direct, then you could go far, and you could get to a destination, and you could indeed bring goodness for you and for all mankind around with you. There's a good one on Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin on base, which I just noticed, which really sums up what we're saying. And will bring us back to Chometz. You know the Gemara, it's the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who was so great that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called him Kamayan HaMiskaber, and we're not here to criticize him in any way. But the Gemara just tells us the story, we'll say over the way the Gemara says it. Perhaps it was something on his level, or perhaps it was something for us to bear in mind. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Ikla Lahosop, he arrived there. Where was there? It was Maya de Diumsis. There was town Diumsis which had beautiful waters and springs and hot springs and baths and comforts. And in those days that was luxury. And Hillel and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went to visit that place. Imshech Basrayu Iyake Talmudei. Imshech Basrayu Iyake Talmudei. He followed after it a bit. He was a bit drawn to it. And because of that he lost his learning. Kihada also, when he came back to town, Kom Lemikri, he got an aliyah, and he leaned from Parshas Chodesh, and he read, Hacheresh Hayalibom, that their hearts were stopped, their hearts were blocked and deafened. So as much as this Gemara tells us that he, because he was following Gashmius instead of his Torah, that should have been, he ended up forgetting his learning and his heart was blocked. But I just noticed that the words he should have read were Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. Perhaps it's telling us this idea. The Achodesh Hazeh Lochem tells us that this world doesn't just go round and round. We have to be a Rosh and not go Golas. We have to have a beginning. Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. Rosh Chadashim. Rosh Chadashim. We have to start ourselves off on the destination. We have to go on our journey. And Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, for a certain extent of his Madriga, was Imshech Basrayim. He was drawn, he was pulled, Imshech, he was pulled after the pleasures of which were available in Jubsis. And because he was pulled in that direction, he didn't allow himself to stop and control, but rather he allowed himself to be ruled by the pleasures that were available there. So he ended up being forgetting the message of Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. So, if you want to experience true freedom, if you want to experience truly a taste of the real freedom that is within us, if we want to be a melech, so much do we learn on Seder night how it's important to be like a melech. We have mitzvah v'seba, and we sit in the most comfortable way we could, even beyond what we can imagine. And the minhag is to put out the beautiful kelim on the table, and even though it says that because lech l'chob we shouldn't put out too many, but because of Seder night we can. If we want to bear in mind, we want to discover that freedom, the nobility. The Chinuch says that there's a special, of all the mitzvahs of Pesach, he explains that all to do that not only did we go free, but we became a noble people. For example, the mitzvah of not breaking a bone of Korban Pesach. He says it's not stam, not just to break the bone. He ventures because the poor man, when he's finished with meat, he hasn't eaten so much. So he breaks the bone and sucks out the marrow. You are a noble people, he says, Hashem is telling us. Don't break the bones. Be elevated. Be like ministers and noblemen who have what they need and don't have to be sucking after the bones. We have better things available for us. Chometz, as we said, is the source of Yisrael. It pulls us down, it pulls us away from Hashem. We want to be in control of our own lives. We want to be truly free to do what we want. So then we have to remember, as we try to do a B'dikas Chometz, I'm sure everyone's going to be working very hard on the Chometz. But we should try and also get rid a little bit of the source of Yisrael that pulls us down. When we get rid of that, we will taste a true freedom, and then Seder night will be as we recline on our beds with the true happiness that we know that we are in a direction and heading towards the truth. Just finish with one last line from Volkswagen. And they say, Yimach Shemov. Indeed, but the message to remember is, Ki Chayim Heim Rak Pa'am Achat. Life is only for once. So therefore, enjoy it while we're here.